Hey, y'all. Let's take a look at Mark chapter 8 and Jesus' first prediction of his death. 8:31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." So remember that this scene, this passion prediction, comes in the context of Jesus walking on his way to Jerusalem for the Passion Week. And they start in Caesarea Philippi and walk to Jerusalem. This would have taken about 5 to 6 days, walking 20, 25 miles a day. And so we should imagine this whole journey taking place over, say, a week. And the whole way, Jesus is telling his disciples, "I'm going to die." And the whole way, his disciples are resisting that and manifesting a perspective on life that is about self-promotion, self-preservation, and making one's idea of oneself the primary motive for life. And Jesus the whole way is saying, "That's not the way I'm going." It's really, if you think about it, a powerful way of teaching. Jesus is illustrating his teaching as he goes. He's walking determinedly toward the cross, and he's saying plainly what he's going to do. And the disciples, starting with Peter, are consistently resisting that idea. And they're resisting it, I think, primarily because that's the guy they're following, and they understand what that means for themselves. But I think Jesus is opening up this alternate way of life. It is the opposite of assuming that with my efforts, I can secure the kind of life I think I ought to have. It is understanding that I don't know what life is, and that life really starts when I trust God, and it continues as I give myself for others and trust Him to give me life that is so much better than I could ever imagine. When Paul says that God wants to give us far above all we can ask or imagine, I think we need to take that to heart, that we cannot imagine the kind of life that God wants to give us, the kind of joy, the kind of abundance. I think we need to take that idea to heart and think, I have no imagination. The kind of thriving, the kind of flourishing, the kind of happiness that I would conceive is pathetic and trivial and weak, and Jesus wants to give me a life that is far above that. I think it's also worth noting that it comes immediately after the context of Jesus saying, "Who do you guys say I am?" and Peter saying, "You're the Christ." He was right about that, but Jesus has to teach them what the Christ would be and how he would be. And I would relate it to the story of Saul and David. God allowed the institution of the monarchy, but I think through the figures of Saul and David, he was showing Israel and us what kind of Messiah, what kind of king they would have. Remember, Messiah means anointed, and it refers back to David. Peter's essentially saying, "You're the king of Israel. You're the promised king of Israel." And Jesus is saying, "You're right, but I'm taking the way of David and not the way of Saul." And here's what I mean by that. Saul was chosen to be king and faced little or no obstacles to becoming king. And when he became king, he proved himself to be someone who grabbed what he could go for, who was worried about his public image, who was worried about managing his reputation. David, on the other hand, is anointed and it's years. He's anointed the king of Israel, and it's years and misunderstanding, persecution, difficulty in his marriages, all kinds of roadblocks to him coming into power. And even when, because of his own sin, he is run out of town by his son Absalom, even then, I think we see the same kind of David who refused to take the opportunity to strike a king who was trying to kill him, also saying, a sinful guy that was cursing him, saying, you know what, maybe God sent him, and how should I not take what God sends? So I think Jesus is also about teaching the disciples what kind of king Israel will have, and ultimately, what kind of kings and queens he wants his people to be. He wants his people to be those that trust God, that give themselves to service to the people of God, that don't concern themselves with defending their reputation or securing their own happiness, but trust that God has much better in store than we could achieve by our own smarts or cleverness or effort or power. So it is the way of the cross, but I constantly want to remind us that Jesus doesn't call us to the cross because he's a sadist, because he just likes suffering and difficulty for difficulty's sake. It's because that he knows suffering and difficulty and disappointment can open us up to the kind of life that God has always intended for us to have, and that is a life of joy, that is a life of pleasures at his right hand forevermore. So ultimately, we could say that God's a hedonist, and he knows that the only way to bring us into the joy of a poured out life is to allow this difficult world to work on us in such a way that we give up on our own projects for happiness, and we follow him in his project of happiness, which is the poured out life, which we find in the resurrection is the only true life. So may we learn from our Lord Jesus to take up his way of the cross and follow him to Jerusalem and follow him all the way into our death so that he may raise us on the last day. Amen.